Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. It is great to be with you. I hope that you're having a great day. I hope as you have been celebrating our Lord's birth, that you've been worshiping Him, that you are anticipating a wonderful, happy new year. And I hope as you go through these days in between, that you have some time just to meet with the Lord and to turn your heart toward Him. And I hope that you look forward to a year of walking with the Lord, growing in His grace, and knowing Him better. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. God has certainly blessed us with them. He's in this time, His Word and His presence. He wants us to know Him. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You've given to us. Father, again, we thank You, O God, for the gift of Your Son, whose birth we have been remembering and celebrating. Father, the wonderful salvation You've given through Him. Father, as we prepare for a new year, Lord, I pray that You will guide our heart, Lord, just to use this time, Lord, to evaluate ourselves and, Lord, to grow in our walk with You. Lord, thank You for this time today in Your Word. Give us an understanding of it and an application of it. Father, help us not just to mentally understand it, be able to understand it in our heart and be able to live it out in our life. Father, be with us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I know even though it is the holiday season and always a joyful time, we all know that we do these celebrations through Christmas and New Year's in very dark and disturbing times. We look at our nation where it is politically and socially, morally, economically. We see the times in which we live, and it's very easy to become burdened and worried. It makes it very difficult to worship. And yet, as we open God's Word to Psalm 118, we find, in fact, guidance that should help us to worship, even in days like these. Now, we're not sure who wrote this psalm. It may have been Moses. We don't know when they wrote it. But it leads us to worship in even difficult days, even days like these. And so we're simply going to work our way through this psalm, and it's so applicable for us in these times and these days in which we live. Because again, in spite of the backdrop of the seriousness of all that we see around us, we see first of all the call to worship. Think about what we read in verses 1 through 4. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. O let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. O let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. O let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Why rejoice? Why worship the Lord? Well, as we see there, because of God's goodness. You know, God is good in everything. We might not understand it at the moment, but from the eternal perspective, everything that God does is in fact good. Romans 8:28, we probably all know it. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to His purpose. We see God's goodness, and that goodness ought to lead us to worship. And in fact, His goodness calls us to worship God. We not only see His goodness, we see His loving kindness, His unlimited love for us. His love that will never end, it will never stop. His love, in fact, that can never, ever run out. If you think about it, from eternity past, God has loved us, and He'll love us for eternity yet to come. What a reason to rejoice, to celebrate, to worship our Lord. God's goodness, God's never-ending love, meant that Israel could worship and will in the future. Means the house of Aaron could worship. Means that you and I can worship. So yes, we see there the call to worship. But then look at the calls for worship. We actually see some specific things listed here. Several concrete reasons as to why we ought to praise the Lord and to worship Him. We see God's deliverance. Think about what we read in verses 5 through 14. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me, therefore I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Again, may have been written by Moses, but certainly looking back on the time of Moses and God's deliverance for them in the book of Exodus. And you remember in Exodus 15 how God wonderfully delivered his people. You think about how he had delivered them out of Egypt, how he delivered them from Pharaoh there at the Red Sea. All of that shows God's love, his concern, his deliverance. You know, Israel could always look back to the Exodus to be reminded of God's love for them, his faithfulness unto them, God's deliverance and intervention in their history, and how that was always just the bedrock of their faith and how it would boost their faith to think about that. You know, we can look back. God still delivers his people, and what an encouragement. You think about all of us can look back at times and ways in our life where God moved and worked and answered prayer and solved problems. What a God we have. What a reason to worship. We have God's deliverance. And you know, this pictures, that deliverance actually sets the stage for a greater deliverance. As wonderful as the Passover and the Exodus were, they were pictures of a greater deliverance. And that, of course, being through Jesus Christ. Psalm 118 is a messianic psalm. That means it's a psalm that talks about our Lord. And so as we think about, you know, causes to worship, certainly God's deliverance, but we think about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the only begotten Son of God. Think about what we read in verses 15 through 18. The sound of joyful shouting of salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. You think about his death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, as you think about that in terms of verses 17 and 18, I will not die, but live, and tell the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he's not given me over to death. Yes, our Lord did in fact die, but he in fact rose again. Again, this is a Hallel psalm. It's a psalm of hallelujah. It's a psalm of worshiping and praising the Lord. And what a reason to rejoice. What a reason to worship. What a cause to worship. Because God has made possible a deliverance of sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, that leads us then to see our salvation. You think about what we read in verses 19 through 21. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me and become my salvation. You know, as it talks there about the gate of the Lord, what was it that our Lord said in John chapter 10 and in verse 9? He said, I am the door, or the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know, our Lord is the only way into salvation. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And yet in that exclusive way is a way that's absolutely dependable and reliable. The wonderful salvation that he has made possible. What a reason to worship. Yes, we see his deliverance, with the greatest deliverance being through the person of our Lord experienced in salvation. But you know, that's not the end. For you see, we also have Christ's second coming. The fact that this one who died and rose again to save us from our sins is coming back. And all the evil and the wickedness and the rebellion of this world will in fact be dealt with because he will end it. You think about what we read in verses 22 through 27. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You know, you think about it so much there. Obviously, verses 22 and 23, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Our Lord quoted that about himself. You think about verse 24, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, this day, but also the day of this age, the fact that, yes, our Lord has made salvation possible, and our Lord is coming again to rule and reign. Verse 26, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Quote, yes, they shouted it in the what we call Palm Sunday, but his people will also shout it the day of his second coming. Our Lord is, in fact, going to return. He will rule and reign. And what a comfort that is. What a reason to worship. Yes, every time we look at the news, read the news, hear the news, we become disturbed by all that we see taking place around us. The corruption, the fraud, the immorality, the violence, the hatred. We see a nation coming apart, it seems. And we think, you know, that typically takes us away from the spirit or attitude of worship. But you think about the fact our Lord is coming back to deal with this. What a reason to worship. Our Lord rules and reigns. He will return as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What a reason to worship. But then we move then to the commitment to worship. Oh, we've seen the call, and we have plenty of causes to worship, but we need to make that decision. There needs to be the commitment to worship. Look at verses 28 and 29. You are my God. I give thanks to you. You are my God. I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You know, no matter what we may have heard today on the news, no matter what we may face, we have more than enough reason to praise and to thank our Lord. And how we need to make the decision to, in fact, give thanks. You know, that's being commanded, if you will. We need to set our heart to praise and thank the Lord and to make that decision because he's worthy. Again, the call, causes, and we could go on and on with those. But we need to commit ourselves to worshiping him. And so let's go to him in prayer in a spirit of attitude and worship. Father, we thank you. We praise you. You are the living and eternal and almighty God. Father, you have made salvation possible and have brought us to that salvation. Father, you rule and you reign even over this world that from our vantage point sees becoming a part of the seams, but Father, it's only going to where you want it to go. Father, things aren't falling apart. As one person said, they're falling into place. And Lord, may we turn our heart to look at you, fix our gaze upon you, and worship you is our prayer. Be with us through this day, through this coming new year. And may we walk in worship and love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you do have a great day today. I hope that you have a very happy new year, not just the New Year's Day, the celebration, but truly a happy new year. And I hope that what makes it best of all is that you walk and grow in the grace of our Lord and know his love better than ever.